Go with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I want to read verses 10 through 17, and I want to talk to you about healing crippled souls. In this passage of Luke 13, Jesus is loosing a woman from her infirmity. He is setting her as a crippled person free. And I think you are already aware that when the Scripture tells us of our Lord healing someone, He literally, physically healed them. But in that healing, there is a spiritual lesson for what He does in the heart and soul of each of us, for we are indeed all cripples in need of His help. So would you let me read starting in verse 10 and read down through verse 17? If you're ready for the Scripture, would you say amen? And He, that's Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. She's sick. She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bowed together. And she could in no wise lift up herself. You think about her condition. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. She wasn't bent over anymore, wasn't bowed over. She was made straight immediately. Verse 13 says she glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, now here is the head muckety-muck of the synagogue, answered with indignation. Now, can you imagine? If he's answering at this point with indignation, who's he indignant with? Jesus. Folks, you're just not real smart to get upset with Jesus. He answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and he said to the people, "Hey, y'all, there's 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath." I guess he set Jesus straight, didn't he? Verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his," the King James Bible uses the word ass, meaning donkey, "from the stall and lead him away to watering?" And folks, that's a rhetorical question, understood answer. Yes, they did. Verse 16. "And ought not this woman," another rhetorical question becomes obvious, the answer, "and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, ought not she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Well, of course so. Verse 17. "And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." I want to walk through this issue of Jesus healing crippled souls in the text. Of course, he's healing a crippled body. Now, I want you to take heart that what he did in this woman's body, can he do in somebody else's body? Well, of course. But can he do that in our souls as well? And the answer is yes. So hang on. Number one, in verse 10, we find that he, Jesus, was where on the Sabbath? What does it say? He was teaching where? In the synagogue on the Sabbath. So Jesus, first of all, shows us where we ought to be on the Lord's day. Let me tell you why that's true. The truth that is being taught at God's house has everything to do with the condition of your soul. And what he was teaching that day at that synagogue ultimately had everything to do with what was going on with her body, because she was transformed that day. And Jesus teaches us where we ought to be on the Lord's day. Folks, I'm going to not belabor this. I want to say it one time. when you willfully, deliberately lay out of church, when you just don't have a heart to go, it is precisely in that moment you need to be there then more greatly than at any other time. Because God has a word for you at the teaching of the house of God. And Jesus was where he belonged in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And it behooves me to ask my heart and you ask yours. Can the same be said of you unless you are providentially hindered? Meaning God has arranged something that you can't be there. Or are you sick? Somebody said years ago, I heard an old preacher say there's two reasons for just laying out of church, sickness and sorriness. And God can fix both of them. And if God can't fix both of them, why do we spend so much time praying for the sick? Folks, I believe God, I don't leave all the healing to the Pentecostals. I believe the God of the Bible can heal even a Baptist. But we must go to him. And I believe what he can do in the body, he can do in the soul. Number two. In verse 11, notice that the woman's disease, she's got a spirit of infirmity, and her disease represents a disease of the soul. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because every soul is born with death working in it. Spiritual death is at work in the heart and soul of everybody that's born of Adam's race. And I find it interesting, and we'll say more in a moment, that in the text, in a few moments, Jesus said, you and me tell you why she's this way? Because Satan had bound her. Now, can we infer from that all physical maladies are because of Lucifer and demons? No. But can we infer from that some physical maladies are because of the work of the devil? Yes, if we can believe that text, we can believe that some are. And you say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, James said, if some among you are sick, let them, the sick, call for the elders of the church and be anointed with oil, which had to do medicinally as well as symbolically of the Spirit of God, and let them confess their sins and pray for healing. So I'm saying that I believe James taught that go ahead and take what you got for medicine, but ask the God of all healing to be merciful to you. Be sure your sins are confessed, and then do what you ought to do to put your faith in God. But what we do understand is that the woman's illness represented, though it was in her body, the disease of our souls, because her disease merely says to me, as much as she was diseased in body, we are diseased in soul. Now, I don't have to convince anybody this morning that you are diseased in body. From the moment you came into this world, yea, should I say, from the moment you were being formed in your mother's womb, bacteria is a part of what's taking place. And refuse to take a bath and refuse to see after yourself and refuse to stay clean and have nutrition, and you will die of disease, because that which can take you out of here is at work in every one of us right now. And we find that her disease is indicative of spiritual death that is working in every one of us right now. Matters of fact, physical death is working in every one of us right now. And as much as physical death is working, so is spiritual death. And the one who came to give us life never implied that I'm going to save you on a certain day and that's going to settle everything. Those he saves, he calls to a life of discipleship. And just like we rest our bodies, exercise our bodies, feed our bodies, give our bodies what it takes to take care of physical illness, we go to the synagogue, we listen to the teachings of Jesus, we pray, we read our Bible to keep health in our soul. It is that crucial. So her disease represents your and my diseased soul. Number three. In verse 11, did you notice she was bowed together? I don't think you need this illustrated, but here it is. She's this-a-way. And she can't lift herself up. Did you hear that phrase that the text used? She could not lift herself up. The disease that's working in my soul, the depravity that still remains within me right now, the shreds of that part of my life that are not like Jesus Christ, from those things, I can no more lift myself up spiritually than she could lift herself, or you and I could lift ourselves up physically. You ever tried to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps? Well, it's never happened. And it's not going to happen. You can't do it. And you also cannot pick yourself up spiritually. She needed somebody with a power external of her to come and do for her what she couldn't do for herself. And you and I need somebody that will come inside the soul and enable us to do from the outside on the inside what we could not do of our own power. And that's the third thing we find. You just can't lift yourself up. Number four. In verse 11, remember Jesus in verse 10, where did we say he was? In the synagogue. And in verse 11, here she is bowed together and couldn't lift herself up. And Jesus sees her. So what we find fourthly is that you need to bring your spiritual diseases to God's house. Now, I find that nobody thinks it's strange that if you and I go to South Georgia Medical Center, there's a particular class of people over there that outnumbers everybody else. Y'all know what class of people that is, don't you? Sick. Now, we praise God for every doctor, every nurse, every technician, everybody. But the sick folks have them outnumbered. You know why? Because a hospital is made for sick folks. And the synagogues of Jesus' day for the teaching of the Word of God and the churches of our day are made for sick folks. It's made for folks that don't dress like us, don't talk like us, don't look like us, pink hair on one side and blue on another. And by the way, if you're here with that, it's not giving anybody any heartburn. We just hope you learn who Jesus is and the difference he will make in the day-to-day walk of your life. If you're here with your clothes up to your it's a little bit embarrassing simply because we think that when you come to understand what modesty is, nobody will say anything and they'll just go back right back down. I saw a man one time, I've given this illustration, it's probably been 20 years ago. He was in a funny-looking car. I'm not making fun of it. It's just funny-looking. And he, a white boy, he's got an afro. And it's got at least four colors of hair. Yellow, blue, green, and I don't know what the other was. Pink, maybe. And as I watched him get in his car, I wanted to laugh out loud because his car bumper sticker said, "I'm different." And I thought, I figured that out. But that person ought to be welcome at the Morningside Baptist Church or any other church that embraces the gospel. And I might mention, I saw him as he went toward his car. He looked like he had fallen into his fishing tackle box. He had stuff hung in ears, lips, nose, eyeballs, everywhere. Folks, what's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with it? If you lost not a cotton-picking thing, that's what lost people do. What's wrong with lost people that use foul language? Not a cotton-picking thing. They not only hadn't met Jesus, they hadn't considered that the God who is holy, they're one day going to face. What's wrong with people who are immodest in their presentation of their body? If they're lost, not one cotton-picking thing. That's what lost people do. What's a problem is that when the church can fornicate like those that's never known God, when the church talks like those who don't reverence God's name. Folks, it's not wrong when they don't reverence God. How are they going to reverence a God they don't even know? But we ought to be reverencing a God we know. And so he's telling us, you bring your spiritual diseases. And let me say this for the record. Some of us don't want to admit it, but with all of us, just like there's something in our bodies that's not quite functioning like it needs to, something that needs attention, something that needs to be straightened out a little bit. Let me just, because you prayed for me this week, your pastor still has just a little bit of what they call AFib flutter. That means my heart is not just perfectly like it ought to be. I still got some stuff inside my body. It ought to be straightened out some. I still got some stuff in my soul ought to be straightened out some. And if you're here today and you think you've got more than somebody else, I wouldn't bet on that if I was you. Because number one, it's not my place to deal with what's in your life. It's my place to be sure I deal with what's in Wayne's life. And just like I can't get my body fixed in one day or one week, sometimes not one month, it's stuff we have to work on. Jesus doesn't come in to a messed up life, save it, and instantly there's not another need. Everybody in every respect looks just like Jesus. Well, you know that doesn't exist. And the person who thinks they are just like Jesus has got the same problem of this guy who tried to rebuke Jesus. So let me say to you that you ought to bring all your diseases to God's house. We can't fix them, but we're going to tell you about somebody that can because he's fixed a whole bunch of them with us. Amen? Adrian Rogers used to say there wasn't but three problems for mankind. Just three. You couldn't come up with a fourth one. He said sin, sorrow, and suffering are man's three basic problems. You can't find anything that doesn't fall under sin. You can't find anything that doesn't fall under sorrow or it falls under suffering. You say, well, what about death? That goes right under suffering. You suffer till you die. Sin, sorrow, and suffering. Do you think about it? And to some degree, every one of us are struggling with something in one of those three categories, if not something in all three of them. Number five, look at verses 12 and 13. When Jesus saw her, you know, he called her to him, said, woman, thou art loosed. And then he laid his hands on her, and then she was made straight. Here's the fifth thing of healing crippled souls. Cures are always because of the grace of Jesus. Cures can't come at the hands of a Baptist church or a pastor. It takes Jesus to bring a cripple physically or a cripple spiritually into a straight condition. Now, how do we know it's by grace? Because look at the text. She didn't call him. He took the initiative and called her. That's grace. You agree with that? And he called her not based on her merit, but because he saw her need. He just said, she's got need. And he called out to her. That's grace. He named her need in verse 12, if you notice. He said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. In other words, he said, you've got an infirmity. And you need to be loosed, which means the opposite of loose is you're bound up. And so by grace, he names her need. You need to be loosed. You're infirmed. And folks, when you get to dealing with Jesus, you know what he does to every one of us? Some way, somehow, through the Word of God, he says, Wayne, you know, you're infirmed in that area of your soul. Your soul's not right there. Your attitude isn't good. Your disposition's not right. You talk too short to people when you talk to them. You hurt too many feelings. And when you start hurting everybody else's feelings, you need to start thinking, could it be me and not them? And the Spirit of God begins to put his finger on you. And what he'll do, the area wherein you're bound, he'll give you freedom. Because truth is what sets captives free. You don't know you're captive, but truth will do that. And what I find sweet in verse 13, what does verse 13 say? Look at it again. He did what? He laid his hands on her. Now, folks, that means he willingly laid his hands on her. See, if anybody ever could have said, I'm not putting my hands on her. I'm better than she is. And by the way, folks, he's better than she was, and he's better than we are. But he willingly put his hands on her. Are you grateful for a Savior who will willingly put His hands on folks like you and me? Is that sweet or what? My soul, cures, I repeat, are always because of the grace of Jesus. Number 6 is in verses 14 and 15. Here we are with the rule of the synagogue. I've already read that. They're indignant, and so they tell basically Jesus off. And here's what I want to tell you the 6th principle of healing crippled souls is. Self-righteous leaders, and I could have said self-righteous people, are also infirmed with blindness. The worst kind of blindness. The worst of all diseases in the Bible is self-righteousness. Have you ever thought about that? It's the one condition for which Jesus said He didn't even come. We looked at it this morning in Sunday school in the passage of Matthew, but Luke even said it in the 5th chapter, quote, I came not to call the righteous, talking about self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, not blessed are the self-righteous. You see yourself to be less than the least. You see yourself, as Paul said, when he said, I'm the chief of sinners. That's how everybody sees themselves when the Spirit of God gets to working on you. And when you finally become poor in spirit, not self-righteous, no hope for you when you're self-righteous, but when you finally come to be poor in spirit, you're on good ground for God to do something for you. And self-righteous leaders are also infirm like everybody else. Don't let anybody in the name of religion, even when, like in this case, it would have been Judaism, even when it's Christianity, if they are self-righteous, they're not righteous at all. Now, folks, that's a good place saying amen, because there it is in the text. Don't walk out on that limb and not carry the saw with you, because you're on shaky ground. Number 7, look at verse 16. He said to them, you know, you take your ox and your donkey from the stall and you lead him to watering, but ought not this woman who is a daughter of Abraham, meaning she's a Jew, she's one of you, one of us, ought not this daughter whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, ought not she be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? Folks, all bondage, whether you want to understand it or not, is not because of your mama. It's not because of your daddy. It's not because of your husband. It's not because of your wife. But Lucifer loves to work in lives and bring them into bondage. And Satan is the one source of all bondage. And I might mention, and this will get an amen, Jesus is the one source of all freedom. Amen. I mean to tell you what, you give Him praise and glory. That's a good thing. He is the source of all freedom. Lastly, look at verse 17. And when He'd said these things, His adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. Now, I know the text says all the people rejoiced, but that all means all the people except who in verse 17? All except those who were ashamed. And so here's the 8th point of healing crippled souls. When crooked souls are made straight, all people do rejoice except those who are God's adversaries. Because, and when He had said these things, all of His adversaries. Folks, if you can't rejoice when God sets somebody straight, then you have become the adversary of God. Even if you do it in the name of Judaism or Christianity, you're the adversary of God. Adversary means opposer. You're in opposition to God. Folks, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to set free those that were bound. He came to give liberty to those who were in self-made prisons. And He's still in business of doing that. And He teaches us that as He set free a woman whose physical condition, by His confession, had been bound up by a spirit, a demonic spirit of infirmity, by Satan. Now, stay with me. You can't talk to a crowd this size but what somebody is not bound up in something by the power of the devil. And it could be the preacher. It could be a church leader. It could be a church staff, or it could just be you. But you're not bound with anything that Jesus can't deal with. You hadn't been bound up in any type of prison that Jesus doesn't hold the key to and can set you free. Would you just, now listen carefully, unless you're sick, I don't want a soul leaving this room. Don't even get up out of your seat and bow your heads. In your heart, if there is some type of bondage, then tell the Lord what it is. It won't surprise Him. And then say to Him what your pastor is going to say to Him about his life. And Lord, there could be other things that I'm still blind to. So I ask You in my life, as these ask You in their lives, to shine Your searchlight and to begin today afresh, showing me things that only You can enable me to see. And as You enable me to see them, grant me the grace to deal with it, as I even sense in my own heart that You would, like the woman in the text, call me to Yourself, identify my need, and then lay Your hands on me. Dear Lord, that's what I ask You to do in my heart. And I ask You to do that in the hearts of these today. And I pray, oh God, that from this moment forth, we will learn in the fullness of time of victory after victory after victory after victory that is being won as You continue to heal our crippled bodies and souls. We would say with the hymn writer, have Thine own way. Lord, that's the only way we want. So have it today, to the glory of the Son of God, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor as Brother David leads us in a hymn?